I'm T.D. Worthington, pastor of the Pathway Baptist Church in Goldsboro, North Carolina, and this is Pathlight, and we are indeed privileged to have you tuning in to today's broadcast. If you're listening by way of radio or social media or ever how you might be listening, we're proud to have you a part of the Pathlight family today and hope you'll stay tuned for today's entire program. Just before today's message, I want to mention to you Christian Bible College since 1980. Wow, that goes back quite a while, doesn't it? 1980 was the beginning year of Christian Bible College, and since that time, literally hundreds of people have received their theological degrees through Christian Bible College. This is a correspondence program, and we have had people from probably all 50 states to graduate over the years. And right now, I'm inviting you to check in to this correspondence program, this academically sound correspondence program, Christian Bible College. Will you please check that out if you're interested in continuing your theological education or beginning your theological education? Maybe you're a pastor, missionary, evangelist, perhaps you're a Christian school teacher, or just or a dedicated layperson in the church, and you say, I'd like to learn more about the Word of God. Christian Bible College might be exactly what you need, because this correspondence, you can do it at home. You can do it while keeping your present job or keeping your present ministry, and you can get your degree, whether it's an associate's degree, bachelor's, master's, right on up to a PhD level. It's available for you at Christian Bible College. If you feel led, check that out. The website is christianbiblecollege.org. Again, that's christianbiblecollege.org. And full information is there, and I think you'll find it informative. Of course, if you'd like to call, you can do that also, because all the information, the email address, the telephone number, all that stuff is there. In just a moment, I'm going to be sharing a message entitled The Value of Your Two Cents. Now, some of us older folks have remembered hearing that terminology from a child. Well, here's my two cents, or I'm not interested in your two cents, or whatever the case might be. As a Christian, though, what is the value of your two cents? Well, in just a moment, we'll be taking a look at that. The value of your two cents. Hope you'll stay tuned for today's Pathlight program.
My soul in sad exile was out on life's burden, with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice say, make me your choice, and I entered the hand.
What is the value of, well, of your 2 cents? The value of your 2 cents. In a moment, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter number 12. But first off, I'd like to give you a scripture in 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, verse number 32. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. To know what Israel ought to do. I want you to picture back in my day that there's a guy and he's got his head stuck under the hood of his car. Now, back when I was a kid, you could work on your car under the shade tree in the backyard. You can't do that much anymore because cars are so computerized and technical. But back then, you could fix most anything with a piece of hay wire and some chewing gum or whatever. But this guy's trying to get his car running and he can't do it. So a couple of his buddies walk up and one of them says, well, here's something you might want to try. And the guy says, yeah, that might work. And then maybe the third one quips up and he says something like this. Well, for what it's worth, here's my 2 cents. And he tells the guy what he thinks he ought to do to get his car running. Now, his 2 cents might be totally worthless. It might not honestly accomplish anything at all. Or his 2 cents might be of great value. It might be exactly what's needed to get the car running. But the value of the 2 cents, what is the value of your 2 cents? As a Christian with the mind of Christ, your 2 cents ought to be worth a lot. Now that doesn't mean you automatically have skills like a surgeon or a plumber or something like that. No. But it means you are able to assess and analyze things that are going on in the world. It amazes me sometimes the number of dumb things that Christians do. Now, I'm a Christian and I've done some dumb things too. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not casting stones at anybody, but I'm just simply saying it's amazing how many foolish decisions Christians make that are going to hurt their kids, hurt their families, hurt their finances. I don't understand it. I really don't. And I think it can only be if these people are saved and they have the mind of Christ, they must not be listening to the Lord. Because you and I are supposed to have an understanding of the times like the children of Issachar, and we are supposed to have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to be able to understand, to assess and analyze problems and come to better conclusions. They may not be perfect conclusions because they're always going to be influenced by us, by the flesh. You know, used to in the newspaper, you had your headlines, national and perhaps international, on the front page. And then on page 2 or 3 or 4 or something, you'd have an editorial. And that would be where the editor or some guest editorialist would give his opinion on the news. He said, well, here's what you read on page 1, and here's why it happened, and here's what you can think about it. But it was listed as an editorial. In other words, this is my opinion, take it or leave it. Used to, the news reporters only reported the news, and you could then determine what you believed about it. Well, today, that's not true. The editorial department and the news department are all kind of mixed in together. So the news commentator not only tells you what happens, he's telling you why it happened, and he's probably telling you whose fault it is and how to fix it. And many times we rely on that. We hear the news and the news reporter tells us what has happened and why it happened, and we believe that without thinking it through on our own. Now, I'm not putting down news reporters. Thank God for the work they're doing, but I'm just simply acknowledging as a Christian, you ought to be able to analyze the news itself. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to know all the nuances that a reporter may know. He may have been able to speak to 100 people and he gives you a 30-second report. I understand that. But you ought to be able to assess with common sense and analyze with common sense and with the mind of Christ what's right and what's wrong. I read a moment ago about 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, about the children of Issachar. They were among those who helped to make David king, if you remember, over all the tribes of Israel. These men were known for their wisdom. They had an understanding of the times, the Bible says in verse 32. They could see how things were going, and they understood that now is the right time for a change of leadership, and David needs to be that new leader. They knew the nation needed a new leader, and they knew who that leader was. Moreover, their discernment was practical. They knew what Israel ought to do. Again, the Bible in verse number 32 of 1 Chronicles chapter 12. I'm saying it should be that way with Christian people today. We need to understand the times in which we live. that we might know how best to serve the Lord. Now, in Luke chapter 12, verse number 54 through 57, the Lord said to the people, "When ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right?" Jesus is piling on some pretty strong words to the people there and some warnings. He's acknowledging that not only are bad times coming and you need to be prepared, but he's acknowledging that he himself is going to allow those bad times. In other words, they're coming for a reason and you ought to be able to discern it. Jesus is awaiting the fulfillment of God's purposes for the world, even though he knows that things will not always be easy, and he's giving people the warning of what to look for. Most old timers had their own folklore to predict the weather. And the Jews of Jesus' day certainly did also. Clouds coming in from the Mediterranean inevitably brought rain. They said, you know, the clouds coming in off the sea are full of water. They are going to bring rain. A wind from the dry desert south means, man, it's going to be hot tomorrow. It's going to be hot. That wind is blowing. Yet those same weather forecasters were not ready to apply their minds to the equally clear signs they saw unfolding in the world regarding the things that were going on a deeper level. And nothing has changed. Even people who can discern the weather cannot see what's happening in our world. Weather forecasters today can do a better job than ever in predicting the weather, but that does not mean they understand events unfolding. News reporters see what's happening. They see what's happening, but they often blame it on the wrong things. They say, oh, the economy's bad, and it's this problem. Crime is bad, and, well, it's a gun problem. Perversion is on the rise. Corruption is on the rise, but this is the reasons. And oftentimes, they miss the real reasons that it's happening. Jesus tells the crowds here, he said, you have an obligation to see what's right and then to share what's right. Ye hypocrites, he calls them, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? In other words, the time you're living in. You don't understand it, and you should. Now, most of us know what's happening. We can hear it on the news every day. But it's not enough to simply know what's happening. We must interpret and discern what is really going on in what is happening. What are all the long-term effects? What are the short-term effects? What has brought us to this point? What are all the tentacles that reach out from this event? Where do they go? Who is responsible, really, for this? I don't mean who's the guy that pulled the trigger. I mean who is really responsible for what's going on here. Events that transpire often have deep-rooted meanings associated with them, and surface thinkers are not going to see what really needs to be seen. That's how you've got to learn to think deeper, and thus you need the mind of Christ and that discernment that he can give you. Our Lord desires for you and I to be good interpreters of this present time. Because the interpretation we give the present time has direct consequences for ourselves and those around us. Some interpretations will help us prepare for what is next. Others will open up opportunities to minister to others. Some will help us guide our families, guide our businesses if we're in business. I know that most people will not listen to our assessment of the news. I understand that, but you should at least be able to share it. I realize as a Christian, you may work with a lot of people that don't give a flip what you think because they know you're a Christian and they know you're going to witness to them in some fashion or form. So when you try to tell them what's going on behind the news, they may not be interested, but you ought to at least be able to share it. Let's not be like the crowds in today's scripture concerning occurrences, discerning occurrences, but failing to grasp the deeper meaning. Sometimes even as Christians, we seem to get through a crisis and learn nothing from it. For example, when we hear of a tragic school shooting, we're mobilized. We pray for the families. Our hearts go out to them. We seek prosecution of the criminal. As a society, we reach out, money's going to be distributed, needs are going to be met, counseling and mental health resources are going to be brought to the front, and maybe a new school may be constructed, a new recreational center for kids is going to be built. Politicians are going to capitalize on the tragedy to promote their own agenda. But in reality, very little is going to change. Next week, or maybe even within hours, there's going to be another shooting somewhere else, and nothing's really going to change. What that means is that we've seen the problem, but we've refused to interpret the problem. We've refused to interpret the present time and respond with the right answers. There's a cloud in the sky, and we're refusing to see what it means. There's a wind blowing off the desert, and we're refusing to see what it means. Now, please, please, friends, don't misunderstand me. I support many of the things we do after a tragedy. Many of these are good things. But I just don't want us to stop there. Hurting people need to be helped. I understand that. Even if they brought it on themselves, they often need to be helped. I don't want us to just look around at what's happening. I want us to look deeply at what is really going on. We always look for easy scapegoats, don't we? Some blame guns. Some say it's because people are oppressed. Others blame poverty. Some say it's drugs. Some say it's because our ancestors had it tough. I don't know. We're all prone to quickly consider the case closed. We look back and say, this guy did this because his great-great-granddaddy had a tough time. So we look for superficial, quick answers. We look for scapegoats, so nothing really changes. I'm not saying there should not be accountability for mistakes or wrongdoing. I just don't want that to be the end of the story. When you miss the real causes of a tragedy, you're not being a good interpreter of the present time. We catch a guy who goes in and shoots a bunch of people, as well we should. We put him in jail, as well we should, or perhaps he ought to be face capital punishment, but he should be dealt with. All that's good. But maybe we need to look deeper at how this could have happened in the first place. Now, I know there's always going to be evil people, but how could this have happened? What went on in his upbringing? What went on in his life? What went on? Interpretation is when you address the disease and not just the symptoms. We can blame guns or poverty or racism, and then as the suspect is apprehended, we blame the individual, and the individual should be blamed if he's guilty. But we need to recognize that the problem often goes far deeper. I've said something over the years, and I think it bears repeating today. No matter what problem you're having in your life, financial, marital, whatever it might be, or as a society, if we're having a problem with crime or the economy or whatever it might be, you've not exhausted the list of causes, possible causes, until you look at the possibility of a spiritual cause. Is there a spiritual reason behind this? Is there something going on in the spiritual world that is allowing or causing this problem? And I think that's where we're not looking today, because oftentimes I do believe it is a spiritual problem. But the trouble is, even as Christians, we tend to outsource our discernment to someone else. We let the news reporter tell us why things are happening. We let politicians tell us what the remedy is. Usually for them, it's a new law, a new regulation. Maybe we let law enforcement officers or social media or conspiracy theorists tell us their assessment of what's happening. So as a born-again believer, I see something happen, and then on the news, someone tells me why it happened and how we need to fix it, and I don't need to be guilty of taking that for face value. They may be right. I'm not saying they're automatically wrong, but there's a good chance they're wrong, because they usually are. I don't want someone else telling me what happened and why it happened and what we need to do about it, because their assessment is often clouded by fear and prejudice and indifference and personal interest, or maybe even political agendas. Most folks that are assessing the news today certainly don't have the discernment that comes from the Lord. They don't have the mind of Christ. I'm not judging them. I'm just simply acknowledging it doesn't appear they have the mind of Christ. They're human, using human reasoning to assess spiritual problems, and you're not going to fix spiritual problems with human reasoning. What would it take, I ask you today, what would it take today for you and I to reclaim and accept our responsibility to discern and judge what's right and what is going on in this world today? God expects us to. Discerning the present time may just be some of the most important and life-giving work we can do for our country, for one another, and for our children. People need to hear what you believe as a Christian. They need to hear the discernment you and I have. They need to hear the mind of Christ that we have. When problems come up around the world, we need to say humbly and sincerely, well, if you don't mind, I'll share my 2 cents. Here's my 2 cents. This is what I believe. After a tragedy, everyone's talking about it. Shouldn't you be talking about it too? As a believer, shouldn't you be able to give them the proper interpretation, or do you think they should get it from the liberal media? Do you think they need to get their assessment from CNN or MSNBC or something like that? Do you think that that's where they need to get it? Don't you think it might be good for a born-again child of God with the mind of Christ and a spirit of discernment to come to them and humbly and respectfully say, well, here's my 2 cents. Can I share with you what I think? I've listened to what you think, and I've listened respectfully. Can I share what I think? You see, friends, it's not enough to only describe what is happening. Neither is it enough just to interpret what is going on. Every interpretation asks something of us and calls for us to respond. What good does it do us to interpret there's a cloud rising in the west? What good does it do to interpret that as, well, there's a good chance of rain, if we don't tell others? Or if we don't prepare ourselves by getting a raincoat or an umbrella? If we have a neighbor who's planning a picnic and we see there's a cloud rising up over the Mediterranean, wouldn't we be wise to say, hey, man, I hope your picnic goes well today. I know you're really counting on it, but I need to tell you that, you know, there's a good chance of rain. Don't you think we need to do that? The point is, this is not someone else's work to do. This is your work. It's my work to discern the season that we're living in and let others know. Immediately after today's scripture that we read in Luke chapter number 12, Jesus asked the crowds another question. He says, yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? No one else can do our work for us. And when we let them do it, I believe we're doing our country a disservice. We're doing our families a disservice. There are enough Christians in America today, I believe this, there's enough Christians in America today to at least partially drown out the liberal media, but it's not happening. And one of the reasons it's not happening is we're not sharing. Many of us know what's going on, and we know why it's going on, and we know what to do about it. And we understand that when we hear the newscast, we're not getting the full story. And oftentimes their answers, the things they say we ought to be doing and should be doing, are distorted tremendously. And we know the answers, but many of us have gotten to a point that we really don't share it much anymore. You see, people don't often want to hear what we have to say. And since they don't want to hear what we have to say, we've kind of learned to, well, to just be quiet. But it's your job. And it's my job. You have the mind of Christ. So I ask you today, how are you interpreting the present time? Are you looking for the deeper problems and the deeper solutions? Are you seeking a spiritual assessment of what is going on in the world and how it needs to be fixed? What I'm telling you today ought to honor you, because I'm telling you the world needs your interpretation. They need to know how to properly respond. Don't push that responsibility off on someone else. Don't push that responsibility off on the liberal media. Don't push it off on some politician who's got some agenda he's on. You and I need to know enough about what's going on to offer our assessment that we get from having the mind of Christ and that we have from having that spirit of discernment. Our world needs it. Our country needs it. Your family needs it. You need to offer your 2 cents. We've been speaking today on the subject of the value of your 2 cents, and so often we minimize our value. You say, well, I'm not a very educated person. There's a lot of things I don't know, or I don't totally always understand what I'm supposed to do or how things are supposed to. I understand that. But the point is, if you're a Christian, you have the mind of Christ. That makes you wiser than your teachers. And I think there's some well-meaning people out there that are not Christians, and they're wanting to tell people the right thing, but frankly, they just don't have the resources that you and I have. You have discernment that comes from God. You have the mind of Christ. So when you hear something about the news, check it out. Get the facts. Get as many as you can, as pure as you possibly can. And then ask the Lord to give you discernment so that when you go to work, when you go in your neighborhood, when you talk to your family, you can give them a true picture of what's happening. Till next time, T.D. Worthington saying, may God bless you is my prayer. You have a wonderful and blessed week as you walk with our Lord.